good evening and greetings in Jesus' precious name. I'm thankful tonight that we have an anchor for the soul. I'm thankful tonight for the living water and that we can be God's people and we can worship him and love him and be faithful to him. Thinking of godly courtships, I realize that as I look across the audience that there's people here that maybe you will never have a courtship. I don't know. We don't know what God has in store. We have a diverse audience. And so I realize that you may feel like this message really doesn't apply to me. I'm really not interested, and maybe you're tempted to have your own ideas or own thoughts or maybe plans for next week. I invite you to listen in. And I want to encourage you also, depends what person you are and where you're at in life, is that remember that you have an influence in life with people. And people evaluate you and people know what your convictions are and know what you stand for and what you believe, even if you're not a person of many words. They observe you and they know a lot about you without you speaking, just by your character and how you handle yourself and who you are. A little story to tell you. We were at Bible school, had the privilege of being in Bible school for 3 weeks, first term, and we went to sing for some older folks at a home, and I was sitting beside a lady that worked there, and she was a black lady, and after the youth were done singing, she had some questions. She said, who are you people? I don't know you. Never seen people like you before. And I told her we're Mennonites and we're Christians and we love the Lord. And then she said, well, I go to church too. She said, do you speak in tongues? And well, no, first she wondered what for baptism we have. And if you baptize in the name of the Father, and I told her we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you know people that are the charismatic movement, they only baptize in the name of the Father. So right away, I knew that there was something coming. And then she wondered if we speak in tongues. And I looked at her and I said, no, we don't. I said, I'm not saying that there's never a place for it, if there's a need for it, if God deems it necessary. But I asked her, I said, so what do you think if the chorus up there would have sang in tongues? Would you got anything blessing from it? And she said, no, they wouldn't have. She wouldn't have known what they're saying. I said, yeah, that's right. Then she went on to say how that in her church, people speak in tongues. And she said, I have no clue what they're saying. She said, there's no interpreters there. She said, they say there's supposed to be interpreters there, but they're not there. She don't know what they're saying. And we went on talking a little bit, and God gave me something to share with her. I said, I looked at the youth. They were still standing up there. And I said, you know what? I want to tell you something. I said, those youth standing up there are virgins. And it just flipped her out. She said, really? I said, I have the confidence that they are. Brothers and sisters, we have something that we don't want to lose. That's what this topic is tonight about. She went on to tell her that she tell me that she has a granddaughter that's 20 years old that already has 3 children. And she's lamenting that. And tonight we're talking about God honoring courtship. And I enjoy talking about this subject. You can open your Bibles to a few verses here in Solomon, a Song of Solomon. And chapter 2, it says, as a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Talking about a man loving his wife. And thinking about a lily among the thorns. You know, you see many thorns and then there's a lily, a beautiful lily. And he's just a mind picture. And he talks about the apple tree among the trees of the wood. So is my beloved among the sons. And so you have this picture of marriage where there's exclusiveness. You know, as I look across the audience, there's many sisters here. But there's one that's my lily. And it needs to stay that way. It needs to be that way. But there's a foundation that needs to be built in courtship that has a huge impact for where you are in your marriage relationship. I believe tonight that courtship is an integral part of building a foundation for marriage that will either give you a strong relationship, or it could actually, if it's a poor courtship, it could actually contribute to a weak relationship, a weak foundation, a foundation that struggles, and so on. Just thinking about courtship, you know, sometimes we get, you know, even, this is some instruction for fathers and mothers as you have little children in school. You know, there's this attraction that can take place between boys and girls at a very young age. And sometimes parents struggle with knowing how to relate to that. And sometimes we can be too harsh with that, and we can be too aggressive, or we can damage our children in those things. And I want to encourage you is that it's a natural attraction. Actually, it's a good attraction. Actually, God created it for male and female to be attracted to each other. And as we face that in our home and the growing children, we would try and talk to them and say, you know what? We understand there's attraction. But there's some regulations to this. There's some rules to this. There's ways to relate to this. And I don't think we make any apologies for not having, I think in our schools and school teachers and school boards, you need to be alert to these things. Help our students, help our children not to cultivate those boyfriend-girlfriend relationships in school-age children. They don't know how to deal with that. It's not healthy. I'm sorry, children, school age, wherever you're at. But you need mom and dad. You need mom and dad to guide you. And I just appeal to you to allow your parents to guide you through that. But parents, don't make them feel like they're being dirty for those desires, because they're not. It's God-given. I would much rather have my sons being attracted to some girls in school than be attracted to boys like we have in society today. But they need to be guided and instructed in words of wisdom, and obviously submit to their parents' direction on that. And don't act like it doesn't happen. It does happen. It happens in every generation. Every school is going to have those things. It's just that's how it is. And you need to not look at it in a negative way, but look at it in a positive way and use it as an opportunity to teach and direct your children. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is a foundation for this subject. I have some roses here. I want to illustrate these roses. These roses illustrate love. These roses illustrate pure love, and they're beautiful. I like roses. They're one of the beautiful flowers that God created, and they open up and they're just beautiful. You know, if I would try and open them and by myself with my hands, I would damage them, would I not? They have to open on their own. You know, that's how love is. You know, it's just amazing how love is. You know, God just creates it, and you have two people that are drawn together, and you see beautiful things happen. And when you let God do it, it opens up and produces a nice, nice being, nice couple, loving God. And so it's important that we remember that. Now I want to look at the foundation here in 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 8, then I'm going to come back and look at some of these verses individually. For ye know that ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all, such as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Therefore, that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now, just thinking about these verses, going back to verse 1, he says, I beseech you. And that word just means to beg you. I beg you and I admonish you. I entreat you. I strongly urge you to listen to what I have to say. That's what Paul's saying as he wrote this letter, and he's writing it to the Thessalonians. He said, I beseech you. Sit up and pay attention. And that's what I'm doing here tonight. I'm not Apostle Paul, but I'm a preacher of the gospel. And I intend to preach the gospel tonight. I intend to preach God's word. And I beseech you and I urge you to sit up and pay attention and listen. This message tonight is not necessarily geared to the youth alone, because I think parents bear a huge responsibility in helping our youth have convictions on the things that we're going to talk about tonight. And I encourage you as parents to be engaged with your youth in regards to courtship, and it happens before they're at courtship age. Well, he says, I urge you, and I entreat you. And he says to do what? To walk and to please God so you would abound more and more. He says, I desire that you would please God and you would grow in your relationship with him. Abound in your personal relationships. Abound in your marriage relationships, in your churches and so on. And then he goes on, he says, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Now here we have this commandment, follow the rules. And I think of courtship and I think of those kinds of relationships. There's rules that need to be in place. And there's times that we just simply need to follow the rules. You can't follow your own desires or your own passions. You follow the rules. And he's saying, I gave you some rules. And so I wonder what for rules he gave. You have any idea what for rules Paul's talking about here? He's saying any commandments, he says, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. What are the commandments he's talking about? I read them. You just turn the page in my Bible, I turn the page and I read verse 3. And it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication. He makes it clear. He says sanctification, set apart. Listen, brothers and sisters, our courtships need to be set apart from what the world is. This afternoon, I had a neighbor that passed away, and this afternoon, it was a local person, and the viewing was just out in town, and so I ran out there quick. It was like 3 o'clock to five, and I had some time, and I wanted to pay my respect to him. I've known him for a number of years since we moved in the community. And then I was standing in line waiting to go through the viewing, and there was a couple behind me, and I introduced myself to them, and they're a neighbor that I don't know. It's across 22, but he comes into my store, and I never really met him though, and we got to talking, and I soon discovered they're people, Christian of faith, and his wife was standing there, and they got to talking about school, and they said they sent their children to Harrisburg to a Christian school. And they kind of talked about it. They did homeschooling, then they went to Christian Day School, or Christian School in Harrisburg, and I asked them about that. And then in the course of time, they brought their child back to North Lebanon High School, and then the mother said, it's awful. I said, really? North Lebanon High School, I drive past it about every day, every time I go away. And I said, so what's bad about North Lebanon High School? Oh, she said, it's drugs and just her boy is 14 years old, and he said all the boys want to do is talk about girls, and it's terrible. He said he only has maybe two friends at school because everybody else, he can't stand it, what they talk about. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Our schools need to be different than that. We talk about Christian day schools. We're talking about what he's saying here. We're talking about sanctification set apart. Our courtships need to be different than the courtships of the world. Set apart for pure living, holy behavior. Abstain, make a deliberate choice not to do something. Do not follow your fleshy desires. Our courtships need to be a stark contrast from what the world is. But we need to have those convictions. And I trust that they are. But I'm just going to preach the word so we can maintain those convictions in our households and with our families and our children and parents. Verse 4, it says, and every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. It says, every Christian needs to know how to manage their desires. Remember I talked about the boyfriend, girlfriend desires that happen in school-age children, that's what we're talking about, helping them to grow up and learn to manage those desires. That's what he's saying. Every person, every Christian needs to know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We need to know how to manage those desires that we have, God-given desires. Satan wants to take them and defile us and destroy us. The thing that God created that is good. Our thought life needs to be brought in subjection. Appetites need to be controlled. Our desires need to be brought in subjection to the biblical guidelines. And actually, that's what we just got done reading. He said here, he says, we have these commandments that we gave you by the Lord Jesus. And he says that you ought to walk and please God, not our own desires, not our own fleshy desires. So young people tonight, in order of preparation for courtships, you need to have those, you need to have your know how to possess your vessel in sanctification. Number five, he says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Lust of concupiscence is just inspiring sensual desires without being able to righteously fulfill them. And that can easily happen in courtship. You can easily inspire sensual desires that you cannot righteously fulfill. And that's exactly what he's saying that we can't do. We're talking about godly courtships. We're talking about courtships that God can look down on, and God is pleased with the courtship. Because we want to please God, do we not? We want to worship him. We want to be acceptable in his sight. And so, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. When the Bible talks about Gentiles that know not God, it's talking about people that are not Christians. Remember I said that the Christian courtships would be a stark contrast from what the world courtships are? Remember I said that our Christian day school should be a stark contrast from what the world schools are? You know, we say we have Christian day schools, and we need to work at maintaining that and helping our students and our children grow up and not follow and fall into this lust of concupiscence. Verse 6, it says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. He says God sees this when there's defrauding done. And defraud means is when there's no righteous way to fulfill the passions and desires that are stirred up. And people make a business out of this in our society, to stir up desires that cannot be righteously fulfilled, and those people are guilty of that, and we certainly don't want to be guilty of that. For us to be guilty of inspiring desire in somebody else that they cannot righteously fulfill, he calls that defrauding. And like I said, people make a business of that. You can search the internet, you can search YouTube, you can fill your mind and soul with those things. Defraud not. And God says, the Lord will be avenger of such. That can happen in courtship. And I warn you to be careful. Verse 7, it says, for God hath not called us on cleanliness, but on holiness. The Christian's mandate is holiness. The Christian's mandate is holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy. It's what we need to strive for. That's what we need to set our sights on. That needs to be our target. Be ye holy. That's the foundation for the rest of the sermon. It's a scriptural foundation for godly courtships, for courtships that bring glory and honor to God. Now, I realize that it takes a lot of work. And there's It would be nice if we could just read the Bible and have it fix it. But it takes work. And we're going to talk about some of those things that we need to employ in order to have courtships that bring glory and honor to God. Actually, a courtship that gives us a firm foundation for a godly marriage. Because I believe that there's some marriages that struggle a lifetime, almost a lifetime, if they don't get help for their marriage, because there's skeletons in the closet. Many times, if there's a marriage struggle that goes on, as the counselor sits down and talk, and they'll start talking about their courtship. And I say, what happened in courtship? We're talking about new birth. And they'll talk about courtship. And usually there's some skeletons come out of the closet. I'm going to tell you something. There's a huge connection between poor marriages and poor courtships if they're not repented of. And I want to encourage you to have godly courtships in order to bring glory to God, and also to have a foundation for marriage that you just love each other. And that it's not that you have to love each other, it's that you get to love each other. And you just enjoy your marriage relationship. So we're thinking of a godly courtship. Number one I have is in order to have a courtship, a person needs to be God-honoring before they have courtship. You know, in order to have a godly courtship, you need to be God-honoring before you start a courtship. You need to know how to possess your vessel. To try to gain holiness while you're in courtship is extremely difficult. If you don't know what holiness is before you start a courtship, then you have no business starting a courtship. Because you're not going to be able to do very well in courtship. So know what holiness, know how to possess your vessel in sanctification before you engage in a courtship. It's a huge importance to know what that means and to experience it. Young persons need to have an open relationship with their parents regarding holiness. You know, it's not easy to go from childhood to adulthood. And I just want to encourage you as parents, young parents, you know, connect with your children on that level. They really want it. They're struggling themselves. They're struggling from childhood and growing up in adolescence and in teenage life. There's things going on that they don't know what to do with. And I know that can sometimes you feel uncomfortable. I just want to tell you, just step in and they'll bless you for it. They will. They actually welcome you to walk with them in those years. Number two, I want to encourage parental involvement in courtship. The Bible examples, we have many examples in the Bible. Actually, I want to look at one that the scripture teaches that we often don't even think of it, that came to my mind in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. And God's given this direction to the children of Israel through Moses. And he says, when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, talking about the Canaanites, if you and the Amorites and so on, you read the verse before that, it names all those the Canaanites and the different groups of them. And he says, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. He's talking about you don't build relationships with these ungodly people. And then in verse 3 it says, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. And so there you have it. You have God-given direction to parents that, listen, you're involved in this. You're involved with who you give your daughter to, and you're involved with what if a daughter comes into your home to take your man or your son. He's saying there's a connection. Our Western culture has influenced us in a negative way towards that. I know that we have grown a lot in our churches, in our Anabaptist circles, where parental involvement is, and it's a blessing, and I don't want to lose it. Because my generation, the generation before me, parental involvement was very, very neo. It wasn't very much at all. Actually, a young man would take a girl home and take her out for a date, and the parents didn't even know it. and they come home and say, you know, I took this certain girl out for a date. That was very common in the generation before me and some of the older brethren. That was happened in many of my circles back in my home community. And then there was a vision for parental involvement in courtship, and I'm blessed with that. We've enjoyed it in our home, parental involvement in courtship. It was a blessing. Sometimes it required a sacrifice, and that was fine. We invested in our courtships with our children. And so I want to encourage you, and we have a Bible premise. We have that Deuteronomy chapter 7. We have Abraham's desire for Isaac to have a good wife. We have Isaac and Jacob, and we have the story of Samson. His parents tried to be involved, but Samson had his own goals and desires. But, you know, you have this biblical concept of parental involvement in courtship. Be involved. And I want to tell you, if we as parents are connected with our children, they'll want you involved. And that starts before they're 18 years old. Be involved with your children. I talked about in school days, knowing what's going on. Be involved in those types of relationships. And it'll go a long way with developing a foundation for when your children are courtship age. And any girl, young lady that's connected with her father and mother will want to know if her parents approve of the young man that has interest in her. They should. If a young daughter of yours trusts their father and you have protected her and you have a relationship with her, she'll want to know what you think of the young man that wants to build a relationship with her. Number three, fathers are responsible to provide and protect for their children. And all through Scripture, we have that example. The protection that a father is to give to his children. And particularly his daughters. A young man needs to desire and seek to meet the father's terms. And I as a father, and don't be apologetic of setting some terms and some guidelines in your home for the courtships that take place. You're responsible. You're responsible for what takes place under your roof. And set those guidelines and protect your daughter and your daughters and provide for them. And the young man needs to understand the protection that you gave, an investment that you made, the prayer, and so on that goes along with parenthood. And that's a principle that I want to drive home, because fathers, if you protect your daughters like you should have, and according to Scripture, you will continue protecting them even in courtship. That's our responsibility. We have the responsibility to protect and to help young men to respect the young ladies. A young man that doesn't respect a daughter of yours isn't trustworthy. And you may say I'm saying a lot, and I am. And I have a passion for this, because as a father, we have a responsibility to respect the purity of our daughters. And it's not any more right for a young man to come into my home and do things with my daughter than it is as a father. Think through that a little bit. And I want us to know that. A young man needs to be trustworthy. Now, I know that in courtships, I realize that there's times that maybe in courtships they struggle, and maybe they feel bad and they need to talk and have more accountability. I understand that. And we as parents need to walk with them with that and help them. But we need to have that foundation of respect. Just like a father respects his daughter, so does a young man need to respect the daughter. Number four, a biblical understanding of love versus lust. If you go to, you could read a number of scriptures. The definition of love is not found in romance books. I'm going to tell you that tonight. Where's the definition of love found? It's in the Bible. Second Peter, just a verse I'm going to read. You don't need to turn there. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in this world through lust. See, this divine nature, this relationship with Christ, this new birth and this new desire and this living water we talked about is different than the lust that's in the world. And so I have a number of points to illustrate the definition of biblical love versus lust. Now I brought a couple roses along. And they're beautiful. And restraint, biblical love is restraint in physical contact and courtship expresses mature love. Restraint in physical contact and courtship expresses mature love. So there's attractions that take place in courtship. But love, biblical love restrains. You don't do everything you feel like doing. It's a restraint. Biblical love. You're preserving something. Now, every time, if you're in courtship, and every time you choose not to restrain yourself, and you get involved in things that you shouldn't have, physical contact, and you could name them, hugging and kissing and that kind of thing. Every time you do that, you're destroying this rose. Rose illustrates love, pure love. You know, it doesn't mean anything. It wouldn't mean very much to my wife at all if I would buy her roses, but she knows that I have strange love in my life. But restraint in physical contact and courtship expresses mature love. Number two, proper restraint will give you a clear window into proper evaluation. When there's a lack of restraint in courtship, it clouds your evaluation of the person that you want to get to know. Sensuality always distracts and clouds perception. And every time that you don't exercise restraint, you're taking more rose petals off and the rose is getting uglier. Passion clouds the view. And what's really sad is that when this takes place, it isn't until after, if marriage takes place, that you get to know the real person. And then there's hurt and disappointment. So again, every time we don't exercise restraint, we just keep on making this rose and destroying it. Number four, restraint love knows that physical affection before marriage often leads to lust, wanting pleasure for selfish reasons. And when you lack that restraint and you want more and more and more, you just take more petals off of the rose. Restraint love knows that there's no convenient stopping place. Restraint love, number five, knows that the lack of self-control will follow them into marriage. I want to tell you tonight that getting married doesn't suddenly give you power to have self-control. If there's a young man that's a lustful young man, he'll be lustful after he's married. Restraint love knows that. Marriage does not produce holiness and integrity. There's a lot of people think it does, but it doesn't. I can assure you it doesn't. There's only one thing it does, is following God. This rose is getting, my wife would be disappointed if I would bring her a rose that looks like this. I want to tell you something, young sister. If a young man comes to visit you and he wants to do things with you that are not right, it's like this rose. And I want you to remember this picture, that if you're in courtship and something starts to take place, that you need to put up your warning signals, talk to your parents, and maybe you can work through it. Sometimes people do things that they wish they wouldn't have later, and they can repent of it. I'm not saying that you have to dissolve a courtship when there's some things that happen that need to be worked through. But I want you to picture this rose, and when the next time he comes to visit you and he has hurt you, to picture a rose if you come walking down the walk and he give you this rose. Number six, restraint love understands what Jesus taught. Matthew 5:28, he says, "Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And you believe that, and you work with that, and you build convictions with that. But when a young person discards and disregards what Jesus taught, and says, I can make my own rules, I'll just do my own thing. Just got rid of some more petals in this rose. Number seven, restraint love knows that a few more moments of pleasure can give away the priceless possession of purity that can never be brought back. Did you know that? There's people give up virtue that they never can get back. And it doesn't need to happen. God wants a better way. I know that in God's goodness, that if people have violated his principles and he forgives them and he restores them and brings them back and they can have a happy marriage, I know that. But there was virtue given up that can never be brought back. And I'm just trying to preach to spare you from that. I'm pleading with you. I'm beseeching you tonight to build convictions. But you know, if you're a person that says, you know what, I know better, I can deal with it, quite a big difference, isn't it? You know what, brothers and sisters, there's a possibility that when people walk down the aisle to get married, that their courtship looks like this. And I will assure you and guarantee you, if it does, there's going to be a lot of pain. There's a lot of things to work through in your marriage that God wanted to spare you. Just a few practical things. Practical protections that should be in place in courtship is a couple needs to have some frank discussion on standards that they agree on. I appreciate that young couples get together, they're mature, they're adults, they need to sit down and need to talk about these things. They need to talk about their courtship standards. They need to talk about their goals and their values. They need to have those agreements. And I encourage you to share then that they would share that with their parents. This is what we agreed upon. What do you think? How does it look? Number two, another one would be is have, limit time spent together. You know, we have to realize that we are human and we do have those attractions. And we need to be aware of that and be careful and have boundaries. You know, I still have boundaries in my life. I don't ride it down the road with some sales lady. I had some opportunities of that already. I won't do that. Why not? Because I got a boundary. There's nothing wrong with boundaries. And you need to have those boundaries in courtships. And we keep those boundaries as we live and as we function for protection, for my own marriage. My wife has boundaries. We have these boundaries. We have that understanding. We trust each other. Another one is be accountable to parents and each other in regards to your standards. Have a meaningful devotional life. Pray together. You know, I'm encouraged with that. I'm blessed with that in our courtships. I trust that takes place in courtships where they pray together and they read the Bible together. That's a beautiful foundation for a courtship to start a marriage. And the couple needs to respect and honor their parents. You know, there's times and seasons the parents will say, you know what? You're spending too much time together. You're just gonna have to go home earlier. It's long enough. It's a Saturday and Sunday, and Sunday night, you're going home. It's for your good. It's just for your protection. And young couple needs to respect their parents and honor them. Later on in life, oftentimes they come back and thank the parents and say, thank you for helping us. We needed your help. Another one, one of my last points here is a proper motivation for courtship and marriage. You know, courtship, the motivation of courtship needs to be the fact that you desire a relationship with somebody where there's compatibility. Not every person is compatible. It's just the way it is. We're made up different. We have different makeups. And you have your different styles of relationships and your different makeups and how you respond to life. And there's just sometimes it just doesn't work out. And maybe there's somebody they get together and they think it's going to work out and then it doesn't. And you don't need to feel like you're being a sinner, that there's something wrong with you if it doesn't work out. That's what courtship is for. It's to find your way, to know if you can love this person for a lifetime. If a young man comes to see you and you wish he wouldn't be coming to see you, then be honest with it. Work through that. Don't just push on. You need to have that love and that commitment, and you need to, I don't know. Maybe this is a cheap term, but I think you just need to be flipped out with each other. You just really need to be in love. You just really need to be into each other. You have to be that you can hardly keep them apart. I always told my children, I'd rather have it that I have to pull back and say, no, it's enough, you're too much, than to say, well, aren't you just getting together? What, isn't he coming? Nah, he wants to be with his friends this weekend. Really? He didn't want to come see you? I'd be concerned about that. I know that they have some boyfriends and girlfriends and they want to spend time together. But you know, if that becomes a pattern, I would have been awake. I would have said, listen here, isn't Rhett coming this weekend? I want a lifetime relationship of love. I know they're going to face some storms in life. We know that. And tests, and that's why you need that as a foundation. Have that proper motivation. Compatibility, I'll mention that a little bit. I just want to talk a little bit about that. It needs to be a spiritual compatibility. You need to talk about church life. You need to talk about your vision for church life. You need to talk about your convictions. There can be variation in convictions. And don't find out too late. Find out the convictions when in courtship. And parents, we endeavor to find that out too. We want to know. And I realize that there's variation in churches and church organizations and so on. But the couple needs to talk about those things. You need to know where they're at. Another part is in there. I think of that in the spiritual sense. I think about in the soul would be being compatible in how they process life, just how you function in life, the things that you enjoy doing, the things that you feel like you can work together. You know, if one's a farmer and one just despises farming. You should maybe talk about that. You know, maybe it could be a hardship. And if you just can't see yourself being a farmer's wife, then well, maybe you shouldn't marry a farmer. You know, I'm talking about compatibility. I mean, and then of course, I think of compatibility and I shouldn't even need to say this, but I'm going to say it because of the day and age we live in, because I want to go on record what I believe what the Bible says, that it's male and female. It's not compatibility the other ways that the world is creating. It's nonsense. You know it doesn't work. You know it's not God's will, but that's what's happening in our society, and it's because they're not following the Word of God, and they're despising the Word of God. And despising the principles that God has set in His Word. And so you look at compatibility and those different aspects, and God wants to bless you and bless you in your marriage. Just in closing, I want to read Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 6. Ephesians 5, it says, But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Brothers and sisters, there's no mistake that God's wrath will be poured out on uncleanness and unholiness and fornication and adultery and so on, and filthiness, and God's wrath is going to be poured out on that. And let no man deceive us. Scripture is true. Now, just looking at these roses again in closing, which one do you desire? I have one here that's a beautiful rose. And I believe with all my heart that you can go walk down the aisle on your wedding day with a rose like this. It's about perfect. It's opening up beautiful. We got these on Friday, I believe, and we wanted to get them on time so they open up a little bit. That's a beautiful rose. And this is the kind of marriage that God wants you to have. And it starts when you're a teenager. And parents, it starts when you have children under the roof of your house. Build those relationships, build those convictions, help them, they're going to need you. And God will be honored, and you can look forward to having a godly marriage that honors God and brings glory to his name. This rose isn't even worthy to put in the solution. Let's kneel for prayer.